And let's read from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time to be together. And Lord, we pray in this moment with brothers and sisters that our hearts and our minds are open for your Spirit to work in us and transform us more into your likeness. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So I ran across a story a few months ago about a high school baseball player named Ellie Klingman. Ellie Klingman lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he is a baseball star, and many believe is good enough to play at the college and pro level. However, there's something different about Ellie Klingman. He is Jewish and strictly observes the rules of Sabbath. He will not play baseball on Friday night and Saturday afternoons until the sun goes down. And when asked if he would ever change his mind, or as his career progressed, or, you know, when MLB teams come and offer him millions of dollars with stipulations that he has to play on the Sabbath, Klingman said this: "No, the day of Sabbath is for God. I'm not going to change that. Observing the Sabbath is a non-negotiable for him." And the article goes on to say this: as much as he loves baseball, he will not forsake his religious beliefs, even if it could eventually thwart everything he has been working towards. And verse 8 of Exodus 20 says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The fourth commandment is a forced pause in our time. And I use and I hold the word forced lightly for our subject today, but then again, as I was reading it, when I think about our culture of work, maybe it should be a heavy word that impinges on us just a bit. Maybe it's why when I read the story of Ellie Klingman, it catches us off a little bit, or it impresses us a little bit that this teenager would go this far. I mean, we don't think about Sabbath really that way anymore. And many of us may think the Sabbath is no longer any kind of aspect of our faith. I mean, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are no longer held to the old law, as we'll say. But I hope, again, as we're reading the Ten Commandments, we're beginning to see the Ten Commandments a bit differently, that God was up to something in giving people these words at Sinai, that God was beginning a new thing in the life of creation, that God was forming a community to look more like God, which is what we want as well. So let's go back to creation for just a minute, as I said that. The passage we read in the fourth commandment makes mention of the creational days. Did you catch that in verse 11? It says, 6 days the Lord made everything, but on the seventh God rested. It's as if God is reclaiming these days for creation. We see in the commandment the reminder that it was God in God's creation work that gifted us with these days. We have 6 days because of God's gift. And not only that, we notice there's a gift of time that was given by God, a gift of a rhythm given by God. And out of God, humanity and creation had and have its beginning and its movement. God's gift, as we see in this verse, is rhythm, work, and rest. God worked for 6 days, but also rested on the seventh. And what we begin to see here is that rest was ordained. Rest is sacred. Rest is found in God. Rest is a gift to us. Rest has a meaning. Sabbath is more than just being lazy or doing nothing. I had a professor in college who would tell us when we would accidentally sleep through a class or something like that, he had this grace that he would say, maybe that was God telling you, you needed to rest. Many of us might not have the idea of Sabbath or rest. Many of us might not think about it in this way. We can't imagine not doing anything. And looking out here, I know a few of you who can't imagine not doing anything. But that's where the creation story reminds us that in creation, that work was actually a good thing. As Adam and Eve were going about naming and tilling the land and taking care of the garden, but that when Adam and Eve, you know, did their thing in creation, we're reminded in Genesis 3 that work became a curse, that something happened, that this idea of work and rest got disfigured a bit. And in Genesis 3, 17 through 20, it tells us this, and to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, your dust, and to dust you shall return. The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. We're reminded in Genesis 3 that work became something other than what God intended it for it to be at creation. That something happened in that moment. That work became something different than what God had wanted. And we see it kind of every day in our own lives and in the lives of our neighbors. I mean, work consumes us. Most of us in here have read the surveys and have seen the results year over year at what work is doing to us. We are a culture that works more than we ever have in previous generations, and every generation seems to work more hours than the next. And if you don't know it, have a granddad, a dad, and a son sitting in the same room or any of those generations and watch how they compete over who works more. I mean, that's what happens. But what is the result? What is the result of all this? We are tired. We are stressed. Burnout is at an all-time high in society. The news reports talk about a phenomenon going on in the workforce right now called the Great Resignation. Millions of workers have left their jobs for various reasons, but two of the most important reasons are this: flexibility and well-being. A recent survey looking at new job postings saw the increase since 2019 of these two words. So as employers are posting jobs, these two words came up the most. Flexibility was up 83% in job postings. Well-being was up 147%. Because here's the thing. God never intended work to become like this or do this to us in creation. God never intended for work to become the space in which we find our value and our well-being and our identity. And yet, there is many, and maybe even you, who find yourself in this place today. That it is your identity, that it is your well-being, and that it is your value. I'm reminded of what Deuteronomy says when it speaks of the Sabbath in the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy 5:15, as it's rewritten, says this: remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. So the Deuteronomy text actually says, remember Exodus. What was lost in creation at the time of the fall, the writers of Deuteronomy are reestablishing at Exodus, God's redeeming of the people from whatever identity was given to them by Egypt, that they were not just slave labor, and that work that the Egyptians saw that they were doing and had drilled into them was not just who they are. Remember again, let's go back to Egypt. Sounds like a pretty good thing. Who they are is not based on what they do. Did you hear that? Who they are is not based on what they do. I think some of us in here need to hear that. Who I am is not based on what I do. Who they are is not based on some kind of productivity quota. Who they are, their value and worth, is not based on certain kinds of work skills. And for some of us, that might be a new concept. When we introduce ourselves to someone or vice versa, the first thing we talk about ourselves or ask someone is this: what do you do? What do you do for a living? Or, hey, my name's so-and-so, I'm a fill in the blank. Work becomes who you are, and as one writer put it, says this: you are what you do. And here's the real danger of work. If we're not careful, it can come to dominate and replace God. Work can become an idol, whether you want it to or not. Remember the first two commandments. All of a sudden, our life can be swept up in the need to work, and all of this can happen for various reasons. And as Christopher Wright puts it, and I like how he puts it this way: a good thing, right? Work, a good thing, which we all think work can be a good thing, becomes a God thing, the essence of idolatry. This good thing, work, as we saw in creation, can become a God thing and become idolatry. Work is idle. I don't know how many of us think that, but when we think about how much time it consumes and what it does to us, work continues to ask everything of us. It takes and it takes and it takes, never giving anything back in return. Oh, well, Russ, it gives me a paycheck. Right. But have you ever noticed that's not good enough? You got to do more. You got to make more. Work causes us to be busy and then busier and then trying to compete for who the busiest is. Society has become good at making busy a badge of honor. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, is what we say. It's what makes Sabbath such a countercultural identity marking institution in the life of Israel, but also for us as well. Taking rest is not normal. In fact, we might even feel guilty when we do. We might feel guilty if you just, I don't know, take a nap or do nothing. We might find ourselves having to like justify why we did it. Well, I was tired because, you know, I had to do all this other stuff. I mean, I did this, this, and this. So we feel guilty about taking rest. It's this value thing, right? Like, we're not valuable if we're resting. We're only valuable if we're doing and if we're working. Anyone in here ever seen the movie Encanto? And if you haven't, well, then I'll have my son narrate it for you. Because when it first came out, I think we watched it once or twice a day. Anyways, here's the thing. It's about this family, and they have this family has this these siblings, and they all have these magical skills. And one of the siblings' names is Louisa, and Louisa was gifted with this incredible strength. And her job is to help all the villagers with their big and heavy task. Day and night they ask of her, and she does. It's who she is. It's who she has become. It's how she sees herself. She never could imagine resting or taking a break, and it finally comes to a head when she's talking to her sister Maribel, and she sings a song called Drip, 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 and it's about pressure and stress and how she has to carry the load for everybody because she believes if she's not doing something or if she's not helping someone, everything will collapse and fail. Her family, the villagers, would be disappointed in her. Who in Hills felt that way if you just stopped for a minute? This is what work does to us if we're not careful. It becomes the place the very center of where we find our value and work. And yet God places the fourth commandment in the life of Israel and now into our life as a governor. Kind of slow us down a little bit on that way to work. Sabbath gives us a perspective that we need to be reminded where our value and worth is rooted and found. Remember, you were once slaves, but you're not that. Remember, you're part of the people of the God who created everything and rested. And as one theologian says, unlike the Greek god Atlas, remember that guy who held the earth? We do not have to bear the world on our shoulders. Like God, we can stay away from the office for a day of rest in the conviction that the world will not go, as he says, to hell simply because we are at rest. That's what we feel like. If we're not there to hold it, it's all going to go bad. The devil's going to get it and pull it down if we're not there. Really? Do we find ourselves that important that we think we have to negate so many other things for this one thing? Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And God speaks to the prophets and Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about their question of Sabbath. Remember that? And in both Hosea 6:6 and then in Matthew 12:7, as they're speaking about it, so bring it to the New Testament, Jesus says this, it was given to man as a mercy from God. And so he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And that's it. Sabbath was never meant to be any kind of form of work where the Pharisees were kind of taking it. Another thing that we had to do. No, Sabbath is a gift of reminding us that we are valuable. That God desires for us to be in a healthy relationship with life, with God. And so God gives us Sabbath. God gives us rest. In a society that pushes for more profits, more hours, more productivity, God speaks an ancient idea, rest. Sabbath calls on us to become like God. If God can rest and not worry about creation, then so can we. It didn't all go down the drain when God rested on the seventh day. God rested so we can rest as well. And when we do, we find a new perspective. And that's what Sabbath is. A new perspective. When we pause, we see things from a different angle. We see things from a new light. Sabbath is that forced pause in our rhythm of life that pushes against all the forces that are unhealthy, all the forces of society that says this is where your value is. Sabbath is that forced pause to push against all of that. Sabbath in the end is about God's mercy on your life and my life. And that's what I want you to see Sabbath as, mercy. Sabbath is the breaks that we need in the middle of our drive. Sabbath protects us, whether we know it or not, from a quest to become our work. Sabbath builds on this whole idea of the first and second commandments of no idols and protects us from our move toward the gods of our day, which makes Sabbath unique in a society that pushes no rest for the weary. And instead, God says, there is rest in your God. And so therefore, rest is sacred, as it finishes in verse 11. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. You need rest. You know you do. Be honest. You know you need it. And so I'm going to stand up here and tell you, take it. Enjoy it. Rest in the goodness of God because God said rest is good. And I know us right here may be thinking right now, so what does Sabbath look like for us today? Well, I don't know, but I read something really good that I liked. It said this. It talked about a family that kept Sunday as their Sabbath day. And the best way they knew how to keep it was this. If you're going to do work, it has to be something that brings you joy. I'm going to guarantee most of you in here opening your computer does not bring you joy. So don't tell me it does. Their rule was no work unless it brings you joy. And I think that's it. Sabbath and joy. that sounds about right. What brings you joy? What can you do today that brings you joy? Dads, if it's watching the U.S. Open, do it. If it's outside playing with your kids, yes. If it's gardening, I know there's a few in here who actually think that brings you joy. Do it. If it's taking a nap, then by all means, get comfortable, close your eyes, and enjoy. But do that which brings you joy. And maybe that's where we missed out on this. We don't take breaks to do the things that bring us joy because work has consumed all that joy. And we just think we have to do it. So leave the computer behind today. Don't worry about the meetings. Don't worry about the bank account. Don't worry about what has to get done tomorrow. Because today, you rest. And you find the perspective you need for the next day ahead. Because if you can rest in God and allow God to do God's work in you, then work may change just a little bit to where you realize your value doesn't come in what your boss thinks about you, folks. Your value comes from the God who says, I love you, you're good enough just who you are, and I don't want you working like crazy. And I got the world, folks. You're good. So that's my encouragement for you today. Take that fourth commandment serious. And remember that God has called you to stop and rest. Maybe you're struggling with that today. I hear you. So am I. This is a hard sermon. It feels easy. It was a hard sermon because it's easy to tell you guys to rest and then me go do stuff. But if you're struggling with this, if you can't stop, if you just find that your value is in other places, let us talk to you. Let us find ways to work with you. But let us be here for you to be a place of rest. I pray that these hours today are a place of rest where you can just come, honestly, relax in the love that is Jesus. But if you have any needs this morning, any prayer requests, you're struggling with something, we have members next to you, we have elders down front, but come now as we stand, as we sing.